And once you see that the highest mother is the mother who is the most conscious mother, the highest student, the highest therapist, the highest lover, the highest anything, and you begin to see that the way you serve another human being is freeing them from the particular attachments they're stuck in that are turning them off to life, and you realize the only thing you have to do for other human beings is to keep yourself really straight and then do whatever it is you do. See, it's easy to know this when you're sitting up in a cave. It's quite easy to sit and meditate and realize how all this is. You know, see how you get stuck in roles and get hidden off, and how the life process, that spiritual contact, turns off the minute you think you're somebody doing something. As long as I think I'm speaking to you and I'm doing something to you, forget it. I'm just keeping you out there as them. The question is, are you them or are you us? Are you them or are you us? Well, if I think of you, if any model in my head keeps you being them, I end up turning off myself, is what I've done. My consciousness, my concepts of the universe have turned me off. Because I know that the higher consciousness state is the unit of state in which it is all us. Here we are. I've experienced that. I know that. That's valid. It's intuitively valid. So now it's the handwriting on the wall. It's absolutely obvious now that every time I perform an act which increases distance, that kind of subject-object distance, I am taking myself one little jot further away from that unit of state, which I now know is. So only an idiot's going to bring himself down. Like, you take truth in the I know I'm supposed to answer questions, and I certainly don't mean to be evading questions. You're welcome to ask the questions. I'm sort of giving you a framework and sharing a lot of stuff I assume everybody wants to know. If somebody's very frustrated because they can't ask a question at this moment, do it. There will be lots of, yeah.
Here an audience member asks a question. What is a mantra?
A mantra is a phrase, or it could be a word, a sound, or a phrase, and it's a phrase that you repeat over and over and over and over again. Take, for example, the phrase, the Tibetan one. You could use English ones, but I'll show you why you use Sanskrit or Tibetan ones. Take the one Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. This is perhaps one of the most widely used mantras in the world today. In fact, in Nepal, you go out and you'll see rocks 20 feet long, 10 feet high, with Om Mani Padme Hum written in tiny letters over the whole rock, so you can just read it like a letter. And there are prayer wheels at the temples where written in them like 10 million times is Om Mani Padme Hum, and you go and you turn these wheels. And you see lamas going around stupas saying Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum. Now, when you first start to say a mantra, the first involvement is in hearing it outside through your ears, saying it aloud and hearing it and thinking about its meaning. That's the first game you play with mantra. See, so if I give you that mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, you think about it and you think, well, what does it mean, you say to me? And I say, well, what it means, there are many meanings, there's a whole book written about its meaning by Govinda. But one of the ways of understanding its meaning is that Om, meaning like Brahma, that which is behind it all, the unmanifest, Mane means jewel or crystal, Padme means lotus, and Hum means heart. So one level, what it means is the entire universe is just like a pure jewel or crystal right in the heart or center of the lotus flower, which is me, and it is manifest, it comes to forth in light, in manifest light in my own heart. That's one way of interpreting that, right? So you start to say, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, and you're thinking, See, God in his unmanifest form is like a jewel in the middle of the lotus manifest in my heart. See, and you're going through that and feeling it in your heart. That's one trip. Okay, that's the first. That's the lowest level operation of mantra. Okay. It's sort of getting, it's putting one set of thoughts in your head in place of another set of thoughts. Instead of thinking like, gee, it's hot out. Should I have a milkshake at the next stop? Gee, the car, the engine sounds a little strange. Yeah. I wonder how, gee, those Chevys, those new Chevys don't look very good at all. Boy, I've been on this trip, you know, okay? Instead of that, all of that stuff, which is terribly profound and important, but isn't really that relevant, you go into the mantra. Once the mantra has been going on that way for a while, it starts to change in its nature. You stop thinking about what it means. You just get sort of addicted or hooked on the Tibetan sound of it. And then it starts to move into your head, and then from your head sort of down into your chest. Until pretty soon it's going around like a little wheel going around inside your chest. Just Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, right? Now at that point it has stopped meaning anything to you. Anytime you want to bring it back into consciousness, you can rerun its meaning through, which will do that thing for you again. But you keep it down in this place where it's just running off. Now it's got another quality to it. That is that when a mantra is done sufficiently, it gets into a certain kind of vibration or harmony with the universe in a certain way, which is its own thing. That is, the conscious beings who evolve certain languages, like specifically Sanskrit, evolve the sounds of these languages to be connected with various states of consciousness, unlike English language, so that a Sanskrit mantra, like Aditya Hridayam Punyam Sav Shatru Binashanam. If you do that over and over and over again, it will take you to a certain state of consciousness. It's very much like in Tibet, for example, they use what are called tankas. If you go to a doctor in Tibet, instead of giving you a prescription for pick these herbs by a damp rock or go to your local pharmacy and get whichever level of the game that's being played at, instead of doing that, he often may give you a tanka, a mandala, it's called, a mandala, to take home and put up on your wall and meditate upon. Now, this is really far out, you see, because here's your doctor, you go through him because you got headaches, or because you're depressed, or because you got fear, or because you've got bleeding or something, and he gives you a piece of paper to stick up on your wall and meditate upon. Now, you'd say, well, that's pretty primitive. But wait a moment. Just assume, for example, they're not all nuts, see, and they're not all naive. And you go and you sort of sit down in front of this paper and figure out what it's about. And after a while, you learn that the way these are designed is that you put your focal attention on the entire mandala, which is circle within square, and the square has gates, four gates. And then pretty soon, your attention, and just let yourself be with that thing. Let all other thoughts go and just stay with it. Pretty soon your attention is drawn in through the gates and into the inner circle and into the innermost circle. And there is a specific design or being or something in that inner circle. And when you come in and in and in, you then experience the inner circle as like a long tube. It takes on a depth. And as you stay with that inner circle, you get drawn, literally drawn. Your awareness gets drawn through that tube, and you get drawn from that tube into literally another frequency of vibration. It's like that model in the center of that little circle changes your consciousness because you have brought your consciousness down to just that circle. It's like if you put up music loud enough, if you go into the Fillmore Auditorium, and there are huge rock and roll bands and 25 slide projectors, and it's an overloading of the stimulus field and so on, that will take your consciousness into another place. Now, you can struggle against it and say, oh, I'm getting a headache, I've got to get out of here. I mean, they're not feeding me linear information. Or you can say, well, here it goes, and just sort of surrender into this, and then there is a new level of consciousness where you are experiencing all these things in a gestalt form rather than in linear separate components. You've given up one type of analytic thought because it's not adaptive at that moment.